Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to be looking at several verses in this chapter, but 17 is where we're going to start, and then we'll pop back up to the earlier verses in the chapter. 1 John chapter 4. We've been talking about the importance of being Jesus in the street. People, they weren't here 2,000 years ago. How are they going to know who Jesus is? They're not all standing outside the door to come to church, right? So many of these people that we know, we meet, we do business with, they're acquaintances in some way. The only way they're going to meet Jesus is through our lives. It's been several months ago now, maybe as much as 6 months ago. One morning in my devotional time, I looked at this verse, 1 John 4:17, and I was looking at it in the King James translation. As I was looking at that, it said something like this: as he is, so are we in this world. As he is. As who is? As Jesus is. It doesn't say we ought to be like him. It says, as he is, so we are in this world. That grabbed me that morning, and I ended up writing in my notes on that morning, how am I doing with that? How am I doing with literally representing Christ in my daily life? So we end up in 1 John chapter 4, and we'll go to verse 17, and we'll start there, and then we're gonna back up. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. That makes sense, doesn't it? So if you just came to God yesterday or this morning or you're coming today, then you're going to experience a measure of God's love. But the longer you are in God and His love is in you, the greater impact and expression of that love is going to come out of your life. I believe that's normal. When I was talking with Fred this morning, and we've been praying for his friends along with him, but he's been ministering to them for a long period of time. And when you said, Fred, this is a gift of love, I'm not doing this for money, I'm doing this as a gift of love. And so the longer we're in Christ, the longer we are going to come to understand that God does so many things in our life, not because we are doing something, but because He loves us. He just loves us. I mean, John 3:16 doesn't come with a bunch of criteria that limits a lot of people. It's just God so loved. God so loved. I was talking with a fellow that does a lot of prophetic and evangelistic ministry, and he was asked to go to a church and speak on John 3:16. And he said, now you have three services, and I want you to speak on John 3:16. And he said, I told the leaders at the church, well, first of all, I don't normally take directions from men. If you want me to speak, I want to have freedom to speak as the Holy Spirit directs me. So that went over okay. They said, well, okay, but we want you to speak on John 3:16. So I said, okay, well, if I'm going to speak at all, I'm going to speak what the Holy Spirit puts in my heart. But secondly, I can't speak on John 3:16 in three services. He said, why not? He said, it's not enough time. I cannot speak on John 3:16 in just three messages, because the message is so incredibly large and powerful that you could not begin to get through it in the messages. He did end up going, and he was sharing with me some of that, and he just started "For God." He got into "For God so loved," and then he got into "For God so loved the world," and he got to the part where we're included. And so when we look at this passage, look at what it's saying. God is love. This is the previous verse, 16. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on which day? Day of judgment. So you live with no fear. Many times in sharing our faith, we were taught to ask the question, if you were to die before this day is over, do you have an absolute guarantee God will welcome you into His house? And so many times people will say, I hope so. I mean, you know, that's not a good answer. Hope so is not a good answer. Well, I believe I'm okay. That's, how many think that's a good answer? It's getting closer. It's not really good. But if someone says, absolutely. A lot of people sit in church that don't have an absolutely relationship with God. They have a hope so, but they don't have an absolute. So if we are in Christ and Christ is in us, then the love of God is in us because we know that God is love. So as we live in God and our love grows more perfect, we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him, face God, with confidence. Why? Because we are like Christ here in this world. I know, so if you have the King James, go ahead and read it. As He is, so we are in this world. So if you are in Christ and Christ is in you, then even though you are still you, God is looking to demonstrate who He is through my life and through your life. Is that okay? And so, how are we doing? How are we doing? I've carried this now literally for months. How am I doing with it? We're talking about Jesus in the street. That goes back years. God's been talking to me about the importance of that. Let's open up this chapter for just a moment. Let's go up to verse 4. But you belong to God, my dear children. Can you say amen? Any children of God here? Yeah, belong to God. That means you're God's property, right? How do you think God knows how to take care of His property? He does. He does. So you belong to God, my dear children, and you have already won your fight. Is that good news? Battle's still going on, but you've already won. So it's okay to say, I'm a winner in Jesus' name, right? So you've already won the fight with these false prophets. The false prophets were operating under what spirit? So the Antichrist. Anything opposed to God. You're serving God? Then there is a battle and a war that's going on against you and against your family and your walk with God. But you've already won your fight with these false prophets because the Spirit who lives in you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in you, lives in me, right? This is that passage. If the same Spirit, yes, because the Spirit, say Holy Spirit, who lives in you or lives in me is, not I hope He's greater, is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. So you've already won your fight. It doesn't look like it, feel like it, but you have, because in Christ, always win. Always, always. So it goes on, talks about these people belonging to the world. Drop with me down to verse 7. Dear friends, that's a nice greeting, isn't it? Dear friends, let us continue to love who? One another. Somebody said, it's going to be easy enough to love the saints in glory, but here on earth, it's quite another story. Loving our neighbors, they're heathens. We expect them to be heathens, but loving the saints, well, we're family. Some lady met me one morning years ago. I'm glad I don't remember her name. She said, oh, Pastor. I knew I was in trouble already when she started with that greeting. She goes, we have horrible sinners in this church. I said, hallelujah. Oh, no, you don't understand. And she starts telling me some of these horrible sins that's in the church. And when she got finished or almost finished, she said, I'm going to have to leave here. I was hoping she wasn't getting on a bus to go to glory because I wasn't sure she was quite ready. But she had decided she was so perfect she didn't fit with others who were seeking God. One thing about being Jesus in the street is Jesus came to reach lost people. Some of you may remember this when we actually had a church campus at that time. And we had some flowers that were outside the door. And Beth Ann is now with Jesus, I trust, I believe. Beth Ann, along with Elaine, would tend to the plants outside of the church. And they were pretty. They were blooming. They'd live. They'd die. They'd replace them and work on them. And they were in these pots, you know, like pots. And one evening, a gentleman came in and wanted to introduce himself to me. It was on a night when we were feeding the homeless. And he said, I'd love to be a part of this church. I came, you know, I've been in some of the services. And I think he was saying he could tolerate my preaching a little bit. But he said, you know, I'm a very wealthy man. said, that's nice. He said, no, you don't understand. I have a lot of money I can give. And I said, well, that's nice. He said, I'd really like to come to this church, but this church has a problem. Aren't you glad Jesus came for people with problems? I mean, Lord have mercy. Where would any of us be if he didn't come for people with problems? And I already knew I was meeting another one of the super saints that had no problems. I said, well, what's the problem? He said, you have the largest ashtrays of any church I've ever attended. I said, what are you talking about? He said, my first time I came to the church, and standing outside, there were people smoking. Imagine that. I'd rather smoke here than smoke in hell. Let's get it over with. So he said, I came up and people were smoking on the front porch. Really? Oh, that was bad enough. But then I saw your ashtray, largest I've ever seen at a church. Where did you find an ashtray? Those two big flower pots right outside the church. They were ashtrays. You go check. There's cigarette butts in there. I said, well, I'm so glad you came to visit, but we're not going to get rid of those ashtrays. We have people that need Jesus that come here. And so I didn't realize they were ashtrays. I didn't even care if they were ashtrays. Didn't matter to me at all. And frankly, I didn't care if they were smoking on the front porch. I was just glad that they came and let us share some of the love of Jesus with them. Jesus in the street. So yes, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we are to love one another. And so that's not like a religious thing that we're to talk about or give sermons about. It's who we are, really. I went into, I think it was called the Suburban Lodge. And I was looking to get a room and for a guest that was coming. The lady behind the guest, many of you know that for years and years and years, when we had facilities, we fed thousands of people. In fact, from that little humble beginning in those days, it ended up every night of the week there was another church that caught the same vision. It wasn't something that we just did alone, but all over the community, many of these still exist today, which was awesome. And so we would serve the people, and it was very important that we had that opportunity to serve and to love and to take care of the needs of people as they would come in. And eventually the county would shut us down. Eventually the county would tell us we could no longer feed. Eventually the county would say, you don't have a commercial kitchen, you don't have a commercial license, you don't have... And so I'm in the Suburban Lodge this night, and the lady said, I have to ask you something. Are you from that church, the church with a heart? I'd never heard that before. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, we have people that come in, you know, they work for some, they're around here. And she said, they're always talking about a church that's somewhere up the street that is always helping and always feeding and always caring. And she said, they called it the church with a heart. She said, is that the church you're from? I said, well, I'm from Abundant. That's it, Abundant Life, yeah. I pray we never lose that heart for God. I asked the county that day. They probably knew I was pretty upset when they told us we could no longer feed. They were going to fine us several hundred dollars a day if we continued to feed. And I asked them a question. I said, when was the last time you had a complaint? When did somebody get sick from eating at our kitchen on campus? When was the last date? Check your file. I want to know. The lady said to me, she said, Pastor, we don't have one complaint out of the 11 years you've been feeding homeless people or anybody that came. We don't have one complaint ever from anyone ever getting sick. I said, well, why are you forcing us to close? She said, someone is complaining. Someone is complaining. They don't like the element. Council on Aging would come by with a bus. We'd have people. They weren't all homeless people. There were people that were lonely. We welcomed anybody, everybody. We didn't check IDs. We didn't do anything. We just said, come on in. We'll feed you. Then we had a service, and those who wanted to stay could stay. And it was an awesome thing. I trust that God restores a lot of those opportunities that we've had in the past, because I really believe that this is what the kingdom of God is about. Loving people, serving people. And so church with a heart. Father, may we always have that. So look at verse 9. We love one another, and then we see what love is all about. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. So how much love is that? Say a lot. That's a lot of love. He loved us when we needed it, right? If you're perfect, then maybe everybody would love you, you know, but if you're a pain, then real love is given in order to accept without judgment, and that's what God does for us. God showed how much He loved us by sending His only Son. It's in Romans, and Ruddy, you had to go there to one of my verses this morning, didn't you? Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, and what does it say? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the measure of His love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. Verse 10, this is real love. This is real love. Want to define it? Here it is. This is real love. Real love, it's not that we love God. Anybody who has any sense that understands how much God has to offer us as His kids, it's insanity to not accept the gift of salvation. I mean, who in their right mind would miss that unless their eyes were blinded and their heart was hard because of Satan and sin? So I understand why I should pursue God, but that's not the part that shows love. It's not that I love God. It's not that I got up this morning and said, God's going to be really impressed because I'm going to take a shower. You can all say amen. And spend some time in prayer. Spend some time in the Word. Spend some time in the notes. Spend some time getting ready. No, that's not real love. The real love, that is an expression of our relationship with God for sure. That's all good. I'm glad you all are here. But this verse is saying this is real love. Real love, it's what you do when you're not getting anything necessarily back. This is real love. It's not that we love God, but that He loved us. He did something. Real love has action attached to it. And I love Bill and Harriet's story of finding a lady in a palmetto bush and dragging her out by her ears and half carrying her to a tub and putting her in the tub, and she had to get scrubbed down. It's like cleaning a dirty pig. And real love is willing to get its hands dirty. I mean, this is, you do this. This is who we are. This is an attaboy. This is part of the kingdom of God. We get to carry on what Jesus did, right? Not that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice, but it's not that we loved Him, but that He loved us when we were not really lovable. Then look at verse 13. We already noticed as we started today that the Spirit of God within us is greater than the spirit in the world, right? So then we come to verse 13, and God has given us His Spirit, again, the Holy Spirit, right, as proof. Proof of what? That we live in Him. So as a person who is born again, who is serving God, inside there is a witness of the Holy Spirit that you are a child of God. And so there is no fear of death or judgment because the love of God has embraced you and the Spirit of God affirms that you're a child of God. You say amen? Okay, we got through the happy part, smooth part. It's all pretty good, right? Like all that part. And so, of course, then we come down to verse 16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in Him. God is love, and all who live in what? Love, live in God. All who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Wow, that's pretty nice, isn't it? So we live in God. God lives in us. God's love is in us, and God's love then comes through us to a watching world. This is the kingdom of God. So as He is, so we are in this world. Go to Romans 8:29. Romans 8:29. Y'all still with me? Your stomach's grumbling? You getting hungry? Fast is over for me. I ate a whole avocado the other day and my body went, "Bee! What did you just do to me?" And I won't tell you how many pieces of cake I had. My wife, her birthday, what am I going to do, you know? And my niece, her birthday, what am I going to do? And all of you bringing sweets and leftovers from Christmas and Thanksgiving. And we brought some in here this morning to help fatten you up a little. Romans 8:29. Familiar with Romans 8, I know. Let's look at verse 29. For God knew His people in advance. How many know that God knows all things? He knows the future, knows the past, knows the current. He knows what you're thinking. He knows it all, right? So God knows exactly who is coming into the kingdom of God. He opens the door of salvation up to whosoever will. But because he knows everything, he knows who's coming. So you have people around your life that are coming. They may not be in yet, but they're coming. And so you're Christ ambassadors that are Jesus in the street wherever you are, and you are there to give the invitation. Y'all still with me? For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them. He chose them what? To become like, help me out, you're not a Presbyterian church. Did we get it up, guys? Did we get it on the, do we have any scriptures up? Help me out. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. Say that with me. Like his son. So in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we. And then in Romans, we're just seeing it again. We could find other scriptures too, but this is simply saying that God chose you because you are a perfect fit to represent him. You are a perfect match. God created you to express who he is in a unique and a perfect way. No one else can do it just like you. And so God knows his people in advance. He knows who is coming. He chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn. Firstborn what? Rose from the dead. Firstborn to overcome sin. He didn't have any. He knew no sin, and yet he knew all sin. Have you ever thought about that? He knew no sin, and yet he knew all sin because he took upon himself all of our transgressions. So he who knew no sin knew all sin that we who are sinners might have everlasting life. The scripture says what? He became sin for us. He accepted all of the penalty and condemnation, accusation of sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Y'all still here? Okay, just checking. Because sometimes, yeah. Okay, so for God knew his people in advance, he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. Remember when he called? Hey, Joe! I know when he's calling me, I'm like, you got to be kidding. I was 15. There was no altar service, no evangelistic thing. Nothing was going on like that. It was a big woohoo. It was a hallelujah night. And I'm way in the back with my girlfriend. So stupid, I hadn't met Rachel yet. And God started calling me that night. We need to remember that. You're not in the kingdom because, man, I'm pretty smart. You know, I chose God. No, God found you. You didn't find God. It's not like anybody can hide from him. It's not like you can be in Africa or down in the belly of a well and get away from his love. His love pursued you. Hallelujah. There should be some shouts in the house. Where's my hallelujah section? Roger, you're sitting over there. This is awesome. Yeah, we need Andrew. This is awesome. So, yeah, I have just four or five points here, but God knew his people. God chose us. And having chosen us, he called us to come to him, and then he gave them right standing with him. Say no condemnation. No fear. No fear of the judgment. Someone may look at you and say, how can you have a smile on your face going through what you're going through? You're just talking about Jim. Because of what's going on in here. No condemnation. Right standing with God. And point number five, which you don't have my points and your points maybe, but point number five, he promised us something. He promised them, me, us, his glory. Wow. Well, so let me get just kind of down and personal with you for a minute. We don't get to go to all these scriptures, so I'm just going to throw it out to you. I want you to chew on it this way. Have you ever heard somebody say, I did the best I could. You ever hear somebody say that? I'm not going to ask me if you ever said that. You ever work for somebody you could never please? It's like, jerk's not a cuss word, is it? I mean, it's painful to work for somebody you can never please. It's like, this is impossible. Aren't you glad God's not like that? You can always please God. Always please God. So we're going to have to look at this a little more. Jesus in the street. Does it matter that we do what we can? How do you think it matters that we do what we can? Is it good to do what you can? Is it good to do what you know you should do? How do you agree with all those people that were saying that? Two of you agree. Where are the rest of you this morning? Are y'all just coming off your fast too? Oh, wow. So we're going to want to look at that a little bit about the importance of doing what we know to do. And that's part of being Jesus in the street, doing what you know to do and what you're able to do. But have you ever thought, wow, I would love to be able to do that, but I just can't. I would love to see this take place. I'd love to see that take place. I would love to see this person healed. I would love to, any of you like that? Called great expectations in God, right? So we're going to look at this a little more, Jesus in the street. It's important that we do what we know to do, what we're able to do, but don't put limitations on it because God has called us to move beyond what we are capable of doing into the realm of the supernatural. And right now, this world has a lot of religion, needs, presence, power. God loosed the church. Do you know there's no answer? There is no solution to the wars and the killings and the division in our nation. There are no solutions in the world. The church is the only hope that God has put on this planet. And if we fail to be His church, which is His body, His hands, His feet, His mouth, His love, Fred, His voice. If we fail to do that, then there is no.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
You cannot win the spiritual battle with partial obedience. You cannot win the spiritual fight with a temporary obedience. You can only win with a total and unconditional obedience to God as He's revealed in the Word of God.
Learn more on Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef.
9:30 a.m. and p.m. daily on WCNO.
Have you read the book of Zephaniah recently? What about Ecclesiastes or Titus? Well, if these books are a little unfamiliar to you, maybe it's because you've never read or studied the entire Bible. Not many Christians have. But you can go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee and do it every 5 years. We invite you to join with us in an entertaining and profitable time of studying God's Word right here on this station every weekday.
Join Dr. McGee at 9 a.m. and p.m. right here on the Good News Station WCNO.